Hey, this is Jason Robinson, the pastor of Church of the King, and I'm so pumped up that you're hanging out with us with our podcast today. I pray that God really speaks to you and that you're encouraged and inspired to live your life with everything you have for Him. Hey, I want to encourage you to check us out over at cotk.org. You can go there and learn all kinds of things about us and when our service times are. And speaking of our service times, I would love to invite you so that I could actually meet you personally on one of our weekend services. I promise you, your kids will love it. You'll have a great time and you'll have a blast. I pray today that God speaks to you through this word. God bless you.
All right, all right. Well, good morning, good morning. It's good to see everybody here. Yeah. I'm gonna try that again. Well, good morning, church. It's good to be with all y'all. All right, oh man, it's good. Come on, you had the Easter lag up on you, you know. We're going to get that off, though. So, no, if it is your first time here, my name's Jason. I'm the pastor. Excited to be here with you. Have a great, great message, a great, great, great series. I know Ryan already mentioned something to everyone in our overflow watching online, but wherever you may be watching from, whatever screen you're looking on, we're excited to have you with us. Church family, can we give it up for everybody who's watching online, everyone from all over the place? Man, I'm excited to get this Family University series started. Ryan alluded to it a year ago. I really felt God put on our heart to really zone in on families. And what we actually did is we went to different maybe books we've read or authors, or actually my marriage coaches came in last year, and we brought different people in that had a different expertise to talk about different subjects related to family. What we've been talking about, we call it university because we got to go back to school. We're going back to school to learn a little bit about families. And so let me tell you about what's coming up a little bit. Next week, I'm really excited about next week. It took me a little while to get to find someone that would fit this category. But we have actually, it's a gentleman that's coming in that's part of a ministry about blended families, okay? So he's coming in, and this is pretty cool. His daughter's coming in as well. So we're going to get the perspective from a parent and the perspective from a kid. Of a blended family. That's a lot in our community, a lot of people in our church as well. And even if you're not part of a blended family, we all know many, right? We all know many. And so it'll give us a chance to understand where they're coming from, see how we can be an encouragement and a help to them. And then after that, the next week, we've got a gentleman named Mac. He's a great guy. He helps support a great company, ministry called J.H. Ranch. I took two of my kids to this place called J.H. Ranch in Northern California. Plan on bringing my youngest next year to it. And a lot of the stuff that I've learned and that I've helped teach about raising kids, raising teenagers, I've learned from these guys. And so he'll be here in a couple weeks. And by the way, those next 2 weeks coming up, not only will we have the weekend service, but what we asked them to stay, and we're going to do a workshop that night. So from blended families the first week, and then how to raise our kids and our teenagers the next week. That evening, we will have an hour and a half long. We won't even do worship. We're just going to go right into it so that we can equip people and equip our families and our community on how to help lead better. But today, I didn't bring a guest in for this one because I'm like, I want this one, all right? And I want to talk to you today about marriage, okay? I want to talk about marriage because after years and years, after over 8 years of being in the community, I don't know how many hundreds of conversations with couples that I've met up with, and I've heard them saying this, that, and the other. I'll say this, I know I'm on the front lines in our community. And so I know what's going on. I know the unique challenges that people have and that they're struggling with. And I have found over the years, the same things keep coming up. Same things are coming up with different marriages and over and over and over. And so I've decided to take it from the quiet one-on-one, and I'm just going to bring it out in front of everybody. All right. And we'll all talk about this together. And I want to help you and show you some things about marriage. And so what I entitled the first part of our Family University is this, the top 10 issues in marriage. Pastor Jay, you going to address 10 things? Oh, yeah. You'll see. You'll see how this whole thing works, okay? We'll go there in just a moment. Before we do that, I do need to celebrate one thing. I just want to celebrate Easter last weekend. It was such a phenomenal time. Man, it was so great. Probably the surprise of the weekend for me was the sunrise service. Pastor Mitch came up to me months ago and said, Jason, I think I think sunrise service is going to work. I said, man, that's a great idea. How about you take that? All right. I'm not doing that one. All right. So he did. And I'm thinking, you know, we got 90, 80, 90, 100 people. We had over 400 people at 6:30 in the morning. They had to come get chairs. I was like, man, you people love Jesus big time, man. And so actually we ended up needing it because our 9:30 and 11:15, we had to put people in there. We would have had to turn 300 people away. We didn't have to because they were all under that tent. But here's the big thing. 75 people said yes to Jesus for the very first time. Come on, can we give it up to the Lord? Awesome. I just want to take a moment and dream team, thank you. Our serve team, thank you. Ushers, greeters, every step of the way, our kids, our parking lot, praise God, because they had a job last week, right? And you guys were the MVP. You know, you're always the MVP of every week, and you really are. And so that's not something you just say. It really is true. So one more time, can we give it up for our dream team? Thank you guys so much. We appreciate it. I love what God's doing in our church. Hey, you know, it's a good thing when the pastor says, you know, I'd come to this church. That's probably a good thing, right? If the pastor thinks that. I love church of the King. Everybody say that. Say it with me. Say King. King. Last week we talked about this. Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Don't you say it one more time. We say King.
King.
King. So if Jesus is King, and he is a King, he is the King of Kings, then it's safe to say that every king has a kingdom. And if every king has a kingdom, every kingdom has a certain rule, a certain reign, and a certain way about it. Again, every king has a kingdom, and every kingdom has a certain way it is to function, and it's to go about. And I'm saying this to share because I'm going to set a foundation of something we need to go into to talk about marriages. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to meddle a little bit today, all right? Sometimes you preach, sometimes you're meddling. You know what I mean by meddling? I'm going to kind of get up in people's business today a little bit, all right? And it's not because I just want to get in people's business. I want to be controversial. It's not that. I'll tell you why. I'm not really a preacher. I'm a pastor. There's a big difference between someone just preaching and someone that's pastoring. That means I want to help you. And I have so many people I talk to, and as they start sharing things with me, I begin to see a pattern of what's going on and what we're going to talk about here in just a moment, and I just want to help you. I'm going to do everything I can to help you today. So there is a king. He has a kingdom, and they have a way about it. Luke chapter 1, angel of the Lord was talking to Mary. Mary's, hey, you're going to have a son. And he sets up this scenario, and it says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. Now watch this. His kingdom will never end. His kingdom, his way, his rule, his reign. Now, here's the thing. When we do things God's way, we get God's results, right? Now, let me explain something about God's way. God's rule, God's kingdom, God's way looks very different than this world's way. And so oftentimes it doesn't make sense in this world's thinking on what God's kingdom way is. Let me give you a couple examples. You know what God says? God says, if you want to get, give. Well, that doesn't make any sense in this culture. Of course not. You know what else it says? He says, if you want to rise in influence, serve like the least of these. How about this one? If you want to live, die. Wow. Well, that's very counterintuitive to what we think in this world. Well, Pastor, how do you know that's true? I'll tell you this. I'll challenge you. Try it. Because you know why? If God created us, he knows how we work best. And so with that, John 18, 36, this is what Jesus even said. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. So you're trying to do things like this world does it, and you're wondering why it's not working out. It's because my kingdom's not of this world. But now my kingdom is from another place. And so this brings me to probably one of the biggest challenges as a pastor in my 28 years of being a pastor, 8 years of being a senior pastor, one of the biggest challenges I see people go through. And inherently, it's not like people are evil or bad. They're trying to do their best. A lot of them just don't know. And this is what typically I see. People do whatever they want, and they ask God to bless it. Then when God doesn't bless it, they get disenfranchised with God, and they get mad at God for something that he never promised he'd bless. Y'all follow me? All right. And so this is what the goal. The goal isn't to do whatever I want, ask God to bless it. The goal is, let's find out what is it that God blesses and adjust my life to that. It getting quiet up in this church. You know, I'm going to try that one more time. The goal is not, we don't just live whatever we want to do and ask God to bless it. We find out what God's blessing and we get up underneath that, right? It doesn't count. Quick clapping. It doesn't count. I'm just playing. It truly is. And again, many people just, what I have found, they just don't know. I've sit down one-on-one with couples and they start sharing things with me and I realize they just don't, God says this and God says that and they just didn't know. And so one huge thing about church and small groups and getting connected like we talk about, we just want to show you. We just want to teach you. We just want to help you because you just simply don't know. And so I've often given this illustration. I've given this in hundreds of conversations I've had with people. And so I thought I would actually do it instead of just giving a word picture. I would show you because this is ultimately the goal. God's a king. Jesus is a king. He has a kingdom. And the kingdom has a certain way. What am I constantly trying to get people to do? When I'm preaching messages, when I'm counseling people, when I'm trying to help people, what am I trying to do? Let me show you what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you under the covering of God. Okay? That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you under the covering. Now watch this. Under God's covering is protection. Under God's way is its favor. Under God's way is blessing. It's all there. By the way, if you do it the way God said it and you're under God's covering, then all of heaven's got your back, okay? This is critical. So this is why we talk about some of the things we talk about. This is why we talk about forgiveness. Hey, you need to forgive. Pastor, you don't know. No, I don't. But you know what I want more than anything? I want you under God's covering. So forgive. The reason I bring up things like even finances or something is it's not because, oh, you know, the church, it's just trying to get you money kind of thing. By the way, I'll be honest with you. We're doing really good. We got the whole parking lots paid for. See some of the trees starting to come down. You see more digging in that. And we're being, God's blessed. It's not about me. I don't need anything from you. You know why I keep talking about, man, put God first in your finances. This is all I want for you. I just want God's blessing. I want God, somebody's excited out there. Two people. Pray God, Pastor. So I just want you under his blessing and his covering. That's it. And then oftentimes we live a life a certain way, not knowing we're out from under God's covering and we're wondering why we're getting rained on and why we're going through some of the hard things that we're going through and the challenges that we're going through. And here's one in particular. Now, I hesitated on whether I would talk about this. I've talked about it all weekend. But after you have multiple conversations over and over and over and over with people, you realize there's so many people who just don't know. And so I want to help you. Okay, I'm pastoring. Can I be your pastor? All right. For the rest of you, I'm coming anyway, I guess. You know, I mean, you're here, so we might as well listen to it, right? So many people I talk to, and they're cohabitating together. They're living together, but they're not married. And they'll come and they'll listen to me and they'll say, Pastor, this, that, that, that. And I'm like, hold on, time out. There's something so much bigger than all that. And here's the deal. It's not so much that you're walking out from under God's covering because you're living under the same roof. It's more of, let's say, the extracurricular activity that probably happens underneath the roof. Do I need to explain it any further? A couple people just got it. All right, in the back. All right, sis. All right, it's all good. All right. the couple extra. And here's the thing. You might say, well, Pastor, we don't have to do that. Well, if you can live underneath one roof and not do that, then you have more willpower than anybody I've ever met in the history of mankind. All right? So and I'm not trying to be difficult. Most time, people just don't know. They're living out from underneath God's covering. And the first thing I say is, hey, let's get you underneath God's covering. And let me tell you what that has looked like. I've done this now, this dozens of times now, maybe more than that, where I would look and say, hey, listen, do y'all want to be together? And if the answer is yes, then let's do this. Let's get you married. Let's get you underneath God's covering, and we'll do the ceremony in 8-9 months from now, whenever you want to do that. But let's get you right with God, because you're asking God's hand to be on something that he can't put it on. Because this is his king. This is what he has said, and so we've done it before. Matter of fact, I'm gonna put it out there as an offer. I did. I've done this all services, okay? If that's you and you're there and you're looking at you and say, man, we want to, God's convicted. I want to get underneath God's covering. Contact our office. Let us know. You may have left 11:15 before and seen there's a few of us standing up here, a few people a little more dressed up with some flowers. We've done this so many times. We've done it in that little side room over there. We're like, let's get you under God's covering because I want you underneath his blessing, and he just can't do it this way. That's God's way. Most of you didn't even know that. Why? Because this world has a different way. Yeah. You know what? But God knows what he's talking about. I won't go too deep into it, but I did some stuff. I was curious about this. And the Institute of Family Studies did this. Not a Christian organization. Institute of Family Studies. They did this, and they said people who live together before they get married, the first year, actually, their divorce rate is lower than the national average. But after that first year, it goes through the roof, and it's higher than the national average. And they say the reason why is because they already have considered separation and divorce as an option. It was already baked in the foundation, so it makes it easy to move on. That's what their studies say. Okay, now that I've offended a bunch of you, let's go ahead and move forward, all right? Get into the marriage stuff. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just trying to help you, I promise you. Let me tell you a story about King Saul. Story of King Saul. If you have your Bible, you can open 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, and then we'll go to Genesis chapter 1 in just a moment. Saul, he was first king of Israel, and God comes to Saul and says, I want you to go to the Amalekites and destroy them all. If you remember a couple weeks ago, I shared the story about the Amalekites that might ring a bell to you, that the children of Israel came out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. As soon as they crossed the Red Sea, boom, they were attacked by the Amalekites. And God actually went to King Saul and said, because they did that, go and wipe them out or you'll be fighting them forever. He said, completely wipe them out though. He said, listen, don't leave anything there. Don't leave a lamb. Don't leave any gold. Don't leave anything. Well, Saul went and sure enough, he won the battle with the Amalekites, but here's the problem. He looked around and he was like, man, that looks good. And that looks good. And that looks good to me. And he kept the best that the Bible actually says. It actually says in one verse, he actually says he kept everything he thought was good. So in other words, he was smarter than God. He knew better. Well, it's 2024. That's an ancient book, right? I know, but let me keep the good stuff. Then Samuel comes, the prophet of the day, and Samuel looks at him and says, you did not destroy everything like God told you to. And then all of a sudden, Saul changes his tune. Come on, he tried to get slick. Anybody know about people try to get slick? Well, you know what? And this is what he said. We're going to take the best and sacrifice it to God. That's what we're going to do. He's like, that's not what you were told to do. And watch this scripture, very important for all of us. This is what I'm trying to help us with, okay? And this was, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as he does in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. And so my goal through this series and being a part of this church is teaching you God's the king. He has a kingdom and he has a way about it. I want to teach you the kingdom way, so that you can be under it, so that we can walk in God's blessing and his favor. So let's jump into marriage. Jump into marriage. I want to give you the top 10 issues that I've seen through talking to all the years in our community, okay, is this. And you'll catch on. You'll catch on in a second, okay? So the first one is this. I just got finished talking some about learning God's way and doing it. I think a lot of people just don't know this is what God would want me to do and then learn how to do it. And so that's what we're here to try to help you with. Okay, and then number two is communication. Number three is communication. Number four is communication. Number five, communication. Six, communication. Seven is communication. Number eight, communication. All right, and now there's two other ones. The main two reasons, the two top reasons people get divorced is these next two here. It is money and intimacy. Money and intimacy. By the way, the whole reason there's typically money issues and intimacy issues is because there's communication issues about those two things. Okay, so let me dive into it. Let me give you a little bit of God's way. We got to go all the way back into the beginning to see how God established it from the beginning before sin came in and jacked everything up, all right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness so that they may rule. Everybody say rule. Rule. All right, so right first I'm talking to the men, okay? Talking about God's way, how God wired us men, okay? Is this rule over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, over the livestock and all wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground? Let me highlight something again. Genesis 1, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule, everybody say rule. Rule, this is what God's telling the man. Over the fish of the sea, and the birds in the sky, and every living creature that moves on the ground. So ladies, your man was created by God to want to rule. He was created by God, as we see in Scripture, to want to take dominion, to want to progress, to want to move forward, to want to reach the goal, to want to reach more, to have these plans. That he was wired that way. So if it frustrates you, man, you have this goal. You always got a goal and ambition. It's like he was created that way. That's what he was created for. Now, men, you were created to want to rule. Now, the problem comes in when you decide to try to rule over your wife. How many of y'all know that doesn't work? It doesn't work when you try to rule over your wife. You aren't called to rule over your wife. You're called to love your wife. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Ephesians 5:23. Now watch, this is important. Headship. Okay, we're talking about what the Bible says about headship. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Now watch this. Being the head is not an issue of value. It's an issue of responsibility. Okay? Now, men, I'm going to help you by just a mental picture. Let me tell you, men, we will answer one day for our spouse and our kids to God because that's our responsibility as headship. And if you want to know what our number one responsibility is, I hear this a lot of times. Hey, pastor, I don't know how to be the spiritual leader of my home. Gentlemen will say that. And ladies will say, pastor, I'm mad. My husband's not the spiritual leader of the home. Okay, let me give you a simple picture that will help. Men, the wives aren't responsible for this. Men, I love you. I'm one of you. I'm your pastor. Let me help you. This is a great picture that's gonna help you on what our number one responsibility as the spiritual head of the home is. It's this. It is our responsibility to make sure we do what we can to make sure our family is under God's covering. Doesn't mean you have to pray more than her, read more than her. You may hate reading, she loves it. I'm way behind, whatever it may be. But it means this. Hey, guys, we're going to church. Hey, we're going to put God first in our finances. Hey, we're going to do what God says, and we're going to be people of our word. Hey, you know what? This is important that we know what God says. I don't even know everything God says, but I'm learning what God says, so I know how to be under his covering because there is his blessing. There's his protection. There's all of that. This is our number one responsibility, men, to do that and make sure that's part of our home. Pastor, I don't know exactly how to do that. Get in a men's group. Keep coming to church. Keep learning what that looks like. Look, don't do whatever you want and wonder why God's not blessing it. Find out what he blesses, and let's get underneath that. Amen? All right, men. So I got a couple things some notes you could take, men. All right, here we go. Men, the way we cover is this. By our covering, as the headship covering is this, We do by we provide and protect. By protecting and providing. Protecting emotionally, spiritually, physically, providing leadership, love, a listening ear, whatever it may be. One of the greatest things that your wife needs, this is an innate need that's in her, is to feel a feeling of security. Now, she may be strong. She may be type A. We have a lot of business ladies in our church. She may kick butt and take names in the world, but she wants to be with somebody that she knows when it's all on the line, he'll protect her. That he's got it. He's going to keep us safe. He's going to make sure we're good. Provide some security. My anchor, that's what I need. She needs that security. So this is how you provide security. So if you're a young man in here and you hope to get married one day, you begin to start working on these things. Guess what? Start working on establishing yourself, getting yourself in a good position. Start working on things financially. Get your things established in a career so that when you meet the right person, you can make a move because it's been a step. Let me give you four ways we give our spouse security. By number one, providing financially. Now listen, I know we live in a world that both work typically. I mean, my wife's a nurse, but did nursing for 20-something years and a pastor, so I get all of that, but carrying the weight of the financial responsibility. And so providing financially, leading spiritually. How do we do that? Okay, leading spiritually, keeping safe physically, emotionally, and loving her exclusively. Like, you're the only one for me, baby. You're the only one. I don't want anyone else. And you know, and don't just say it. Do things to show it, right? Make them feel special. All right, men. All right, ladies, you didn't get off the hook, all right? It's your turn. It's your turn. God's like, about time. My Lord, mercy, Pastor. All right. Men covering. Men say covering. Covering. All right, ladies, Genesis 2, 20 through 22. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. Notice, God made her and then brought her to him. She didn't just show up. He brought her there. So, question, men, who made women? Okay, y'all are unsure. Ladies, don't answer. Several ladies answer. I don't need you to answer, lady. Okay, this is for them, all right? Men, who created your woman? Who brought your woman to you? God. Okay. All right. So, lady, understand this. Your bride is a gift from God to you. Amen. That was good. That was the best. Men, y'all did the best on that one. All right. If you're married in here, lady, look at your husband right now and say, God, I'm your gift from God. I'm a gift from God to you. I'm a gift from God to you. Just let him know. Okay. Let him know. Now, men, be careful what you say right now. Don't say to God, you got the receipt. Don't say that. We'll need counseling for a long time. I may not be able to help you out of that one. You're on your own. Men cover. But women, watch this. Women, God uniquely wired you to come alongside. To come alongside. To do what? To support. Now watch this one too. And to protect. We see, the guys are to protect. You know, our wives see stuff, men, we don't see. They have a sense about things we don't get. And at first, when we first got married, my wife was like, I don't know about this, I don't know about that. I'm like, no, you just don't understand. I got this. And after a couple crash and burns along the way, you know, I finally learned she sees something I don't see. So now after 25 years of marriage, if she's like, I don't like it, I'm like, I don't like it either. I don't know why, but I don't like it. Because I can trust she sees something I don't. Do you know how many times she's protected me? She protected me from my outfit this weekend, y'all. Last night I wore an outfit and she goes, you look professionally frumpy. Look that up and see. I don't know. So I have a completely different outfit on. I look good though, babe? Okay, thanks. She wants me to move on. All right, so I'm going to move on. All right. You know what, women, they protect what you can't see. They help you what you can't see. So ladies, how do you give support? Let me give you four things. How to give support to your spouse. That's the one thing about the last service, y'all. I'm not worried about the time. We just have fun. I just go for it. It's good. Ladies, so your support and protect. How do you give support to your spouse? Here we go. I'm going to give you four. By one, praying diligently. Pray for your husband. Pray for him. You will be shocked at the things God will whisper to his heart when you pray for him. By the way, if you're like, I don't need to pray, I can tell him what to do. No. Now listen, you might be right, but there's a big difference between God showing him and you trying to beat it in him. Right? All of a sudden, whew, oh wow. Next thing you know, he'll come in. You know what, babe, I think we need to do. And you're like, but God showed it to him. It's a big deal. All right, so we pray in diligently, encouraging consistently. Watch this one. Challenging respectfully. Well, Pastor, I told that idiot. No. Respectfully challenging. And I say this, I'm not trying to be a punk when I say this, but you have a much better job of encouraging him into something than criticizing him into something. Because if you criticize him, he'll do it on the front end, but then guess what will happen? He'll start to hide a little bit because he'll feel like he can't measure up. And that's what he'll do. We don't want that. We're one here. And the final one, creating peace in the home faithfully. Creating peace in the home faithfully. And that'll help us. Men, it'll help us do this. And ladies, it'll help you come alongside and say, hey, let me support and encourage so that he needs my support to keep the covering over them, keep the blessing underneath them. Okay, all right. So I had a whole lot of points, a whole lot of other things other than just that first one, okay? So we had communication, finances, and intimacy. Let me just say this about communication. What I'm gonna do with communication is I did a message on communication about 5 or 6 weeks ago. If you were here, you're good. But that is a QR code to a link to the message of communication. All I'm gonna do is share what I already shared if I did that. So instead of taking up time with that, y'all can scan that, watch that on communication. It's the best I got when it comes to communication. And so hopefully that'll help you. And it'll help you guys grow in that, okay? But I want to address the other two, and the worship team's going to come out here, start playing behind me so they can help me to sound more spiritual. All right, so let me talk to you about financially. I'm just going to kind of go 30,000 foot, just boom, 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 on financially and intimacy. Financially, we need to be on the same page with money. Listen, if finances and intimacy are the top two reasons people get divorced, it's important. Don't blow me off right now. This is important. I'm trying to help fight with you for your marriage, okay? It's simple. Who is managing the money? What's coming in? What's going out? And here's a big one here. What are your shared financial goals? Do you have shared financial goals? Or does he not know what's going on with your money and she doesn't know what's going on with your money? Ooh. Oh, we're not one here. We're struggling with those things. By the way, it's unfair. It's unfair for one of you to have a financial goal and you don't want to express it to your spouse because you don't want them to really speak into it because you just don't feel like dealing with it. Then they begin to spend money in certain ways and you're like, wait, I was going to use that for our financial goal, but they never knew about the financial goal. And now we're fighting about something they don't even know. Y'all follow me? This happens all the time. And so we have to be on the same page when it comes to our finances. Like now let me go into the next one here, intimacy. One way I like to explain intimacy is this, is into me, I see. That's a good definition of intimacy. Like into me, I see. Now, right when I say intimacy, of course, people's minds go straight into sex, and that's part. But intimacy is so much bigger than that. It's you see me. You see the deepest parts of me. I see the deepest parts of you. And I don't use it to take advantage of something. We see it and we're a safe place for it to be held. It's the conversations of like, hey, this is what's going on. My wife, she knows what I love. She knows what I can't stand. She knows what I'm excited about. She knows what I get nervous about. She knows all the things that are in my heart. By the way, that took a long time. A long, long time. And I'm just going to share a couple quick thoughts on this. And I'm going to tell you, this alone is worth the price of admission right here. Okay? Is this. When women feel emotionally intimate, feel very connected to you, heart to heart, then they will be open to being physically intimate. Watch this, ladies. It's important. When men have physical intimacy, it makes them open to wanting to connect emotionally intimate with you. It's, well, God messed this whole thing up. Shoot. No, it didn't. You know, it's actually causing us to do, to deny our flesh, crucify our flesh, and serve one another. There's something powerful that it puts in all of us. Actually, Galatians 5 says this, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly. Pastor, man, look, Pastor, it doesn't take long for my need to get met, but her emotional needs, it takes forever. And you talk and you talk and you talk. You're right. Yes, it does. Yes. Is it work? Yes. And can you mess it up in a moment? Yes. But it's learning to connect, to grow. Pastor, is that all my husband wants? No. But he feels close to you. He feels close to you through that act. Now, here it is. Now watch this. The whole idea of intimacy, guess what? God's involved. This isn't he's this, she's that. It's like, no. Do you realize you're God's provision for your spouse? Like, the way God decided to take care of that need is you. Okay, so let me just make it real simple then. God, let's talk about the God. God, men, you are God's provision to meet her needs emotionally. Notice, I didn't say wants, needs. You don't have to. She can get her needs met somewhere else. Oh, no, we don't want that. All right, let me flip it around. Ladies, you are God's provision, God's gift to meet his needs physically. Notice, I didn't say wants, needs. He could get his needs met somewhere else. Woo. We don't want that. It's not what God has. That's not under God's covering. And you realize that you are God's provision. Like, you are his provision. Now, men, don't go home and be like, maybe I have needs and I'm looking for the provider. You know what? Go for it. I don't care. Good luck. Good luck. In 9 months, we'll have the biggest baby dedication we ever had in this church. It'll be awesome. It'll be great. Come on, y'all stand up. I got to pray for you and let you get out of here, all right? Y'all stand up. I'll keep going. All right. It's this. I'm going to pray for you and let you go. I know I stepped on some toes. I am trying so hard. This is literally all I'm trying to do is get you like this. God. If I can just help everybody here, if I can help you, sir, if I can help you, ma'am, young person, maybe you're not married anymore and you want to get married again, whatever the case may be, hey, let's start right now. What is God's kingdom way? Let's get under that, because there is his protection. There's his favor. There's his guidance. There's his blessing. I'm going to take a little bit. It's not a hard ride. It's a little bit of one. But I just felt compelled in prayer this week to do this. One last major thing with that I see. Let me just say it. Destroying marriages. Destroying marriages. And it's a silent killer. It's a silent killer that nobody wants to talk about. But it's real. And the only reason I want to bring it up is because we can help you. We really can help you. As a church, that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. And it's addiction. It's addiction. Addiction has destroyed more marriages, more families. And there's no way that we're in a church this size and we don't have people who are struggling with some of the things that I'm here to talk about. Like, let me just help you with it. We have people in our church that have overcome these things. They have literally come up to me and said, if anybody struggles with this, can you point them in my direction? We want to help. People that were struggling, they get it. They understand. If you're drinking too much, quit saying you can control it when you can't. Because if you could, you would have stopped. I'm not mad at you. I'm pleading for your life and your family's life. We have people that I can introduce to that have come to me and said, that was that person. I did that. And years later, here, God has delivered me. I'm helping other people walk out of them. Introduce me to them. I can help them be free. If that's you, don't be silent any more. Let us know. Let me know. Call the office, say, hey, I need to talk to one of the pastors. Let us know. We will get you connected. If you're struggling with pain pills, that is a big thing in communities like this. In high net worth areas like this, there's a lot of demand, a lot on top of you, and you feel the pressure because if you don't perform, you got 25 people from all over the globe ready to move here in a second and take your job. And so you get that pressure, and many, they cover their pain. It's not a drug issue, it's a pain issue is what it is. They do it with pain pills. I can introduce you to multiple people who have come up to me and they said, Pastor, I've struggled with this. God has completely delivered me. I've been walking it out for years now, and I'm at a place now that if somebody's there, I know where they are and I can help them. Don't suffer in silence anymore. If you have a sexual addiction, and here, you do not have to suffer in silence anymore. The shame that you're struggling with, you know what? It's the world that says, shame on you for that. But Jesus came, died on a cross, and says, shame off of you. I paid for that. That's what he said. I can introduce you to people who have even texted me, showing me pictures of different things that they've received because they've been free for 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, saying, Pastor, if you have anybody, let me know. I know where they are. Some of you, even as I'm saying this, it sounds too good to be true because you're like, no, this is just my life and I got to learn how to deal with it by myself. No, you don't. That is a lie from the pits of hell. We can get help. It won't be easy, but we're going to help you. That's who we are. That's what we do here. We're going to help you get there. Don't be shy.